Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. It's time to get your Bible, grab a cup of coffee. We are in the book of Matthew, just in the last hours before the New Testament begins. Jesus is going to give his life for us. He's going to die in our place. And right now, he is in the hands of the federal government. At the time, I call it that, Caesar's. And the political government at the time, he'd been delivered over to be crucified by the religious leaders. Think of this even happening today. It would be like the pastors, priests, whatever the title is, elders, Bible teachers, or whatever. At the time, he's being delivered over because they're jealous of him. And they always say, well, it's the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. It was the religious leaders of the day, and they were making money in the temple. Jesus overturned it. He basically kicked them out. All the money changers out of the temple. And then the scribes and the Pharisees were furious, and they were thinking of delivering him up right then. And they've delivered him over to Pilate. Pilate tried to release him. He says, what has he done? What evil has he done? And that's as far as it goes in the book of Matthew. So we'll leave it there. He saw he was innocent. He washed his hands of it. What else, Andy?
And he says, I'm innocent of this blood. That's what he said. He washed his hands of it. He didn't want to. His wife had dreams about it and everything, tried to get him to get out of it. And then he just washed his hands of it. He didn't stop it. He washed his hands of it. He says, his blood, and they said, the Jews said, all the people answered and said, his blood be upon us and upon our children.
They're owning it.
They, for the first time, they own it. And we were talking about judgment within God's family. And the first thing we do, we did this last yesterday. I call it yesterday. We don't know when you're listening to these different podcasts. But anyway, we were talking about the steps in Matthew 18. At first, you go to a brother alone, and if he repents, you're to forgive him. You're not to bring it any further. You're not to talk about it. It's done. Bury it. Forgive means to forget. If you talk about it again one more time, you haven't forgotten it. You haven't forgiven it. If you have not forgotten it, you have not forgiven it. And today we conveniently go to the pastor. Instead of going to that person, we go to the pastor, we go to the elder, we go to the teacher, and we don't do it ourselves. And you had a comment on that, Brett.
Yeah, you know, it's people don't want to be the one to, you know, maybe they got something in their head that, oh, I'm exposing or I'm tattletelling. You know, and as your kids growing up, don't be a tattletale. Well, that's not the way that Jesus portrayed that, or that's not what he had said. You know, this is when you go and you're talking to a brother about, you know, something like sin and them having to repent. I mean, it's for their life, you know. So the person, if you see it, you're obligated to do that. And it's not a matter of, you know, well, that's his walk. I'm not going to tell on him, or I'll go tell somebody else and they'll go tell them, you know, they're giving the authority up to like an elder saying, oh, I'm going to go tell the elder this is what they're doing. And so the elder can do it. But he didn't, Jesus didn't say, you know, if you see a brother sinning, to go and tell the elders. And he says, he's talking to the individual, you.
Well, let's say you go to England to visit somebody and he hands you the car keys and you start driving on the right side of the road. And he says, and he doesn't say anything because he hasn't talked to the elders, and you die in a head-on collision. And you don't know you're breaking the law, but the brother does because he lives there in England. He's aware of the law. And he says, wait a minute, we drive on this side of the road, and what do you're saving a life.
You are. And if you, and on the other side of that, if you don't say something,
you're guilty.
That's guilty.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, you're right. If you see it and you don't say something, and that person, you know, gets into that head-on collision, you're guilty of that for not having to try to step in and say, this is England. You need to be on this side, and showing that. And it's not, you're not doing it as condemnation. You are doing it for somebody's life. You have seen it. You made the judgment. Oh, that is sin, or that person is not driving on the right side of the road. And you're not going to an elder about it. You are going to the individual, to themselves.
And then you don't go around and tell what a foolish thing this American did.
Right. Not trying to expose it to everybody else, but it stops with you.
Right.
Right.
And that's where the honor, that's where integrity comes in. That's where brotherhood, true integrity, really is shown forth in that.
Yeah, your intent is to help cover up.
Yeah. Cover his, you know, if he's naked, hand him a coat.
Right.
Now, years ago, when I first started learning about the Bible, I took the information that I'd learned, and I wanted to make some experimenting with it, so I went around Vancouver and around Portland to some of the largest churches, and I talked to the ministers there, and I asked this one person, I won't tell you what his name is, but it was a long time ago, but I won't say it. Anyway, it was a large church, let's say 500 to 1,000 people. And I was in his office with him, and I was in college at the time, and I had my tennis shoes on and shorts, and so I looked like I wasn't, you know, threatening to him. And he leaned back and was talking to me at his desk, and I was asking him questions, and he leaned over and he said, "Will you mind if I smoke my pipe?" And I said, "Oh, no, sir, I don't mind if you smoke your pipe." So then he leaned back and got really comfortable smoking his pipe, and I asked him, I said, "I'm going to ask you a question. It's a little bit different here." I said, "What do you do? How do you handle sin when people are sinning in your church? What do you do?" And he smiled and he looked at me and he says, "Well," he says, "I can't do a lot to that because I could lose my job." And I said, "Oh, really? You could lose your job?" "Oh, yes." And I just went along that line of thinking and didn't react. But that's what a man told me that was a big religious leader here in a big Portland church when I was first learning the Bible. And I did it for myself. I wanted to see this and hear this for myself. And I could see that they were very much like the ones that didn't like Jesus, because I knew what the Bible said about things. And this man didn't say anything about it.
So that very first context, the very first time Jesus went into the temple, it was about money. And that's the first thing that drove his answer was money, his job.
His job. He would lose his money if he told people about sin or told them they needed to repent.
And he couldn't buy any more pipe tobacco.
Whatever. But I really did that.
Well, we're going to be reading to the hour, the very hour, when the Old Testament in 2750, we're set free from it. And the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. And this happens when Jesus dies on the cross. We have been reading in Old Testament where people are still under Moses' law. We know that because another time we went back and looked at Matthew 8, and when Jesus healed this one leper, he was told to go and do the things that were necessary according to the law of Moses. Didn't it say that? Matthew chapter 8.
Yep.
So they're still under the Mosaic law until, we haven't read it yet, but we're coming up. And they are surrounding Jesus, so now all these evil forces are surrounding Jesus to kill him. The world is against him. The religion of that time, the leaders of religion are all against him. They've surrounded him. He is in prison. But he is about ready to overcome all that and set us free. Is this a cry out from Jesus?
Oh Lord, how my adversaries increase, many are rising up against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no deliverance for him. But thou, O Lord, art a shield about me, my glory and the one who lifts me. I was crying to the Lord with my voice, and he answered me from his holy mountain. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustains me. I will not be afraid of them who have set themselves against me. Arise, O Lord, and save me, O God, for thou hast smitten all my enemies. Thou hast shattered the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Thy blessing be upon thy people. I lay down and slept.
Jesus in the grave.
I awoke, for the Lord sustains me. I will not be afraid of men who have set themselves against me. Arise, O Lord, and save me, O God, for thou hast smitten all my enemies. Thou hast shattered the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Thy blessing be upon thy people.
Pat, keep playing. Because I lay down and slept. He died on the cross, and then he awoke on the third day. Sing that one more time. Think about it and start where he lay down and slept.
I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustains me. I will not be afraid of them who have set themselves against me. Arise, O Lord, and save me, O God, for thou hast smitten all my enemies. Thou hast shattered the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Thy blessing be upon thy people.
that enemy of sin. He destroyed all the enemies with his death on the cross. He overcame every one of them. And he arose because the Lord sustained him. Psalms 3. So we're going to go to that hour. We're going to get to that hour. And we're reading from 32. And again, we're in Matthew 27, if you just joined us. And we're going to read to verse 44, from 32 to 44.
And coming out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to go, that he bear his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, place of a skull, they gave him wine to drink mingled with gall. And having tasted it, he would not drink. And having crucified him, they parted his garments among them, casting a lot. And they sat and watched him there. And they set up over his head his accusation, written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then are crucified with him two robbers, one on the right and one on the left. And who passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If thou art God's son, come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priest, mocking with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. He is the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross. We will believe on him. He trusts on God, let him deliver him now, if he desires him. For he said that I am God's son." And the robbers also that were crucified with him cast upon him the same reproach.
The leaders of the church were right there mocking him, mocking the king, the son of Melchizedek, king of righteousness, king of peace. They're mocking the prince of peace, who is king and will soon be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And let's keep reading in this. This is now the last three-hour period before he dies.
Now from the sixth hour, darkness was over all the earth until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani?" That is, my God, why didst thou forsake me?" And some of them that stood there, when they heard it, said, "This man calleth Elijah." And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge, and filled it with vinegar, and put it on a reed, and gave him to drink. And the rest said, "Let be, let's see whether Elijah cometh to save him." And Jesus cried again with a loud voice, and yielded up his spirit. And lo, the veil of the temple was rent in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were rent, and the tombs were opened, and many bodies of the saints that had fallen asleep were raised. And coming forth from the tomb after his resurrection, entered into the holy city, and appeared to many. Now the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus, when they saw the earthquake and the things done, feared exceedingly, saying, "Truly this was a son of God."
Actually, the word is added. Read it with, "This was son of God."
"Truly this was son of God."
Or maybe it could even say, "the son of
the.
God." Yeah.
"And many women were there, beholding from afar, who had followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, among whom was Miriam Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. And when even was come, a rich man came from Arimathea, Joseph by name, who also himself was a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded it to be given up. And Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which had been hewn out in the rock, and he rolled a great stone to the door of the tomb and departed. And Miriam Magdalene was there, and the other Mary, sitting over against the sepulchre."
Now, that's an interesting scene. There's a lot of women there, aren't there?
Yes.
Very interesting. And so back in verse 50 is where the new, this is all now the New Testament. It's in the middle of that first context when Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up spirit. And lo, the veil of the temple was torn in two, top to bottom. And the earth shook and the rocks were torn or rent and tombs were open. And many bodies of the saints, this is looking ahead now. It doesn't say this, but and many bodies that had fallen asleep were raised. And we know they come forth after his resurrection because it says that next. So this is on the third day that this happens. And so now we were down to the last hour when it happens. It was verse 50, but now this context contains the first, second, the first day, the day of Passover, and second and third day. Do we want to keep reading, or do you guys have any?
Sure. Now, on the morrow, which is the day after the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees were gathered unto Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remembered that that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I rise again. Command, therefore, that the sepulcher be made secure until the third day, lest haply the disciples come and steal him and say to the people he is risen from the dead, and the last error will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard, go, make it as secure as you can." So they went and made the sepulcher sure, having sealed the stone with the guard there.
Yeah, a lot of effect that guy was. It didn't inhibit Jesus for one millisecond in his resurrection and so on. But they were looking at it from a physical aspect, and that was the brains of those spiritual leaders. They were not spiritual at all. Otherwise, they would have seen the Lord. They had blepo eyes. They didn't even have theorio eyes. They weren't even open to it. They had total blepharitis, you know, physical, fleshly eyes. It was all about money. Jesus hit that right off the bat when he went and threw the money changers out of the temple. And but this whole story, it looks like it just is about the last hour, but it's over a three-day period. But you can now, from the sixth hour, darkness was over the face of the earth until the ninth hour. It starts off in the context being this three-hour period. And then it goes on. Now it slows way down till when. So the helicopter now is just dropped right down. And now we're looking real closely. The time is slowed to a crawl, and he dies on the cross. And lo, the veil in the temple was torn, so there's now access to God, the Father.
Yeah, what strikes me is when this curtain was ripped in two from top to bottom, it opened up to allow people to go in, not just the high priest, but all of us, opportunity to go in through his death. And the Jews were still in denial. They were still in denial. Seeing this curtain ripped, they went down there to check his tomb and put a guard there. They still didn't believe it.
They didn't have a clue what was going on.
Mm-hmm. The religious people of the day had no clue.
Mm-hmm. I guess that's the best way to say it.
Do you think that's happening today?
Yes.
So they're teaching. Yes. They're teaching social studies now in churches. Oh, by the way, they're using. I got a text today that this real close friend of ours found out that this young guy had graduated from being a minister in Bible college. He's starting to be a minister and he's starting to deliver sermons, and he says he gets them from AI, artificial intelligence. And right now, the Bible is on the internet, and it looks pretty good. It looks like it hasn't changed. But when people start reading this paper, you know, when the Bible's printed, that could change very quickly. Somebody has authority over AI. They have authority over Facebook. They have authority over all the different media. And it could be one person, and that person could be the who, Pat? Say it.
Demon-possessed.
Or Satan himself.
Yeah. Prince of the power of the
just
air.
Just change the word of God.
Yeah.
Just change it.
Oh, just a slight amount. And we're not to even change it with a slight amount and alter it one little bit. So that's why we go back to the Greek and the Hebrew. And the bodies of many were opened, so that just jumped 3 days. That just jumped from verse 50 to 52. All of a sudden, the helicopter went up to look at a three-day period. And sometimes some of those jump ups, when the helicopter goes up, it'll overlap. It'll go back a little bit and forward. So if you have to get used to the view of where God is speaking from, what he is looking at, and what he's presenting to us. So this is showing from close up, really fast. He changes three-day period to just moment by moment. And now he just jumped up and looked at 3 days. So God can go quickly. He can hop on a cherub and fly, and at a moment's notice, and he can, and he says that he hopped on a cherub and did fly. And of course, we know God is everywhere. And coming forth, so now this talks about his death, the blood, and his resurrection. These are the main things that Jesus did. Three things he did for us before he even told us to repent. And, well, he told them to repent back there, but us today. This is all done, and I wasn't born yet. Now, for us here on the earth, he has that all ready and prepared before we're even told to change our mind. And that's the first thing we must do. And the second thing, if we go back to Matthew 4:17, is follow him.
King of kings and Lord of lords, glory, hallelujah. King of kings and Lord of lords, glory, hallelujah. Jesus, Prince of Peace, glory, hallelujah. Jesus, Prince of Peace, glory, hallelujah. Rey de Señor, de Señores, gloria, hallelujah. Rey de Señor, de Señores, gloria, hallelujah. Jesus, Principe de Paz, gloria, hallelujah. Jesus, Principe de Paz, gloria, hallelujah. King of kings and Lord of lords, glory, hallelujah. King of kings and Lord of lords, glory, hallelujah. Jesus, Prince of Peace, glory, hallelujah. Jesus, Prince of Peace, glory, hallelujah.
Until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.